Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. What a game for the Timberwolves on Saturday, Jim. Just completely flipped the Suns have the advantage on the Timberwolves narrative immediately. Close early, and then the Wolves kind of took over a 25-point win. I really thought they'd win. I didn't think they'd dominate.
No, I thought it would be a tight game, and I thought there were two swing points in the game. One was it was a pretty good fight in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Wolves go to the bench. They bring in Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and those two guys start going crazy, especially Alexander Walker. Both ends of the floor. Nickeil, both ends of the floor especially. Naz hit a couple threes, and they just kind of gave themselves some separation. Then third quarter, Anthony Edwards took over the game, started hitting 27-footers, started getting every shot he wanted, and trash-talking Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. And, I'm not sure you could have drawn up a better game for the Wolves. Bench play, Anthony Edwards dominating, Towns being, fairly sharp, Gobert playing great defense, great team defense, great game plan. And I thought one of the most interesting things that we learned after the game was Edwards, people were saying, okay, good thing for the Wolves, they get to rest everybody, right, for a week.
Yep.
Edwards said it was the hardest week of practice all year and that he'd gotten the best shape he's been in all season, which is why he had good legs in the third and fourth quarters.
Great. And that's what Finch does. He finds the right mechanism to try and get his guys to play at their best on any given night. He sensed they needed some work, obviously, and needed to stay sharp with all that time off. Again, good work by Finch.
Yeah, he's really good. Really good staff. Really, just between him and Connolly and the staff they've surrounded themselves with, and I talked to Connolly this about the other day. He was talking about their skill development people are phenomenal. And so often you see guys who haven't even played for a while get forced into action, and they play well because they're ready.
The Timberwolves bench was just vastly better than Phoenix's. Sometimes bench depth can be, and the importance of it can be diminished a little in the playoffs because starters get more minutes. Maybe there's a shorter bench. You're playing eight guys instead of nine, things like that. But the Wolves, in that first game at least, they found a way for their bench really to come in and make a difference.
Yeah, and Alexander Walker and Naz Reid, probably both should be like sixth man of the year candidates. Obviously Naz has the edge there because of his scoring, and he deserves it if he gets it. But Monty Morris has been even better defensively than they hoped he would be. Kyle Anderson, they won this game with Kyle Anderson being out, getting hurt and not being able to come back in, and Mike Conley playing one of his worst games of the season because the bench is so good, those things just didn't matter.
Yeah, which was certainly nice. How about the move by Naz Reid through the lane where he goes over the one player, his head with the ball in his right hand, and then goes for the reverse with the perfect English on the other side? That's a complicated, sophisticated finish that he didn't have early in his career, and not that many guys have.
No. In fact, Connolly said that the other day, too. He said that he thinks Naz Reid has the best handle on the team. Hmm. For a guy that tall to be able to manipulate the ball, fool people, cross people over, go through crowds at that size is just something we really don't see.
Bradley Beal torched the Timberwolves in the last game of the regular season. I knew he wasn't going to hit all six of his three-pointers again, but if he goes up, now Kevin Durant is going to go off. You just kind of expect that, and it began at the start. But when they had Anthony Edwards guarding Bradley Beal, Beal didn't have much of a chance. Edwards just locked him up.
He did, and what the Wolves believe is that Durant is going to get his points whether the Suns win or lose. Mm-hmm. If you guard Durant like crazy, he's going to score 27. If you don't guard him, he's going to get 27. He's just going to hit his shots.
Yep.
So they really think that shutting down, not letting Beal, probably in order, Booker, Beal, and Grayson Allen, not letting those guys go crazy is the key to the series. And they kept all three of those guys from doing much.
So how's Kyle Anderson? Is he going to play tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm going to the practice later today. I'll probably find out then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a way to guess.
Let's talk Twins a little bit. 7-13. I thought I heard that it was their third worst start through 20 games in franchise history on the post game radio last night. Went down to the game with Bill, who's retiring, coming up here pretty soon, and JP and Michael Madden here at the station. That was a lot of fun going to the game, despite the fact the Twins didn't play well again. They're just struggling.
Yeah, it's really a minor league lineup right now. They had three good starting pitchers, and two have been horrible. And The bullpen has been okay, but, you know, not when you don't have that many opportunities to save games, you're not going to see the best out of them. I do think Duran is probably the first who's going to come back from, of their key players that are out. It is sounding like Royce Lewis is going to be a long time. Bad news there, and it sounds like Carlos Correa is not going to be a quick return, although it's not going to be as long as Royce Lewis. So those are really the two best players. You know, I mean, you'd like to think Buxton's their best player, but he's got to show me something for me to say that. They're two best players, their best hitter, their best all-around player. You know, they need those guys back, and it's not going to be really quick. But the most obvious fix right now is get Verlin out of the rotation. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And he can help the bullpen, and he's killing them in the rotation.
And you know what? He's not the only starting pitcher that's been hurting him. Paddock will go today. He's struggled as well.
He has. Paddock has been disappointing. I think Varland looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. Paddock, I feel like he's just nibbling a little bit too much. I actually kind of like Paddock's stuff and pitch mix. Mm-hmm. You know, so I could see Paddock coming out of this. I'm not sure I see Varland coming out of it.
Meanwhile, the Vikings getting set for a big draft coming up this year. They don't have a quarterback necessarily, and I don't think they believe Sam Darnold is the future at QB. So something is going to happen, whether that's trade up, stay where they are and get a guy. We won't know until Thursday. What's your best guess at this point?
I think Drake May is the guy they want. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade what it takes to get up and take him. I think the Patriots are going to ask for a ridiculous amount. I don't know if the Vikings can afford to do that. So the real question in the draft, what I wrote about this morning, is do they then trade up a lesser amount of stuff to get McCarthy? And what I point out is that as of 3 months ago, I don't think you could find anybody in the country who thought J.J. McCarthy was a better quarterback than Penix or Bo Nix. But he wins the national championship by doing almost nothing other than handing off. And all of a sudden, you know, the narrative begins that he's this great leader and he's the guy you got to go get. And all of a sudden, he's number four in mock drafts before he's considered like a second-round draft pick. I just think the Vikings will be best off taking either Penix or Bo Nix.
Wherever that may fall, they shouldn't have to trade up to get either of those guys, right?
You would think not, no.
Would it be at 11? I've heard a lot of Penix associated with the Raiders at 13, and it sure appears as though the Broncos are probably in the market at number 12.
Yes, I would think either the Vikings would have to use the 11th pick on him, or they might have to trade it up to like 7 or something, just to make sure those other teams don't trade up ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. There is some teams still in there that also... Now, there aren't that many teams in the NFL that are set at quarterback where they're saying, I don't care who's available, we're set. There's maybe 10 teams in the whole league like that.
Right. I do think Vikings, Broncos, Raiders are the three teams that are really interested in moving up into the top 10 or hoping that one of the guy they like falls to them where they are.
Any Gophers draftable on night one coming up on Thursday, or are they more night two guys?
Oh, Newman's a really good prospect. He's a great player. I don't know if he's going to go in the first round. I think somebody might take him in the first round. Maybe he's a safer pick at the second, but I don't know. But he's their best player.
Tyler Newman, anybody else that's draft eligible, do you think?
Span Ford is an interesting, I really thought with a good senior season, he could have moved up the ranks, maybe been a third or fourth round draft pick. They just didn't get him the ball this year. And he's a big, strong guy who can catch it. So I think somebody's going to want him. I just don't think anybody's going to feel like they have a lot of need to move, to take him high.
Yeah. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.